before me today my favorite sermon topic. I'm going to speak to you on the subject, Jesus Christ, the Mighty God. Jesus Christ, the Mighty God. Now, if you want to follow in your Bible, my text will be taken from the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Now, I said this is my favorite subject, and yet I'll have to say that it's the most difficult of all subjects. For really, who can tell the unsearchable, incomprehensible riches of the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ? How complex and mysterious and glorious is our God. So when a man speaks on the subject, Jesus Christ, the Mighty God, it's like Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? And again, the apostle wrote in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of the angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And then Job wrote in chapter 11 of Job, can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty to perfection? Why, it's higher than heaven, what can you know? It's deeper than hell, what can you tell? And then in Romans 11:33, Paul wrote these words, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable, and that's what I said, how unsearchable, how incomprehensible are his judgments and his ways of past finding out. But let's look at the subject. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, now listen to the scripture, Isaiah 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, in the same breath that the apostle calls Jesus Christ a child, he calls him the Counselor. In the same breath that he calls him a child, unto us a child is born, and his name shall be Counselor. And in the same breath that he calls him the Son, now listen to this, you talk about unsearchable. In the same breath that he calls him the Son, he calls him the Everlasting Father. And then in the chapter before, the prophet Isaiah said, and his garments are rolled in blood. This sounds like a warrior in the midst of a battle, just come forth from the conflict, and his garments look like they've been rolled in blood. And yet, in the same breath, he calls him the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. And then he calls him in Isaiah 53, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. And then here he calls him the Mighty God. That's what I'm talking about. When we speak on the subject, Jesus Christ, the Mighty God, the person and work of this great Redeemer, it's so complex and so mysterious that if the Spirit of God is not our teacher, we'll not understand. And then he says he's despised and he's rejected. And yet he says he's wonderful, and the very government of the universe is on his shoulders. Now, there's no contradiction here at all. No contradiction. It's all true. The one that's the Son is the Father. And the one who is the child is the Counselor. And the one whose garments are rolled in blood is indeed the Prince of Peace. And the one who's despised and rejected of men, the one who was in the world, by whom the world was made, and the world received him not, yet he has the government on his shoulders. He's the king of the universe. There's no contradiction. It's all true, but it's a mystery. And my friends, it's not learned by research. It's not learned by human wisdom and reason. It's only learned by revelation. Our Lord said to the disciples one day, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the apostles replied, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the prophets. But he said, whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter replied, thou art the Christ, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And you know what the Master said to him? He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't learn that by research or by reason. But my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed that to you. And again he said in John 6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And they shall all be taught of God. And he that hath learned of the Father, been taught of God, cometh unto me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that God's prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, and reveals them to us, the deep things of God. My subject is mysterious. My subject is very complex. And my subject, without the aid of the Spirit of God, is not understandable at all. But yet, as the Scripture is interpreted in the light of the Scriptures, there's no seeing Jesus Christ except in his own light. For Jesus Christ himself is the teacher, and he is the lesson. Jesus Christ is the one to whom we look, and he's the light by which we see. Jesus Christ is not only the priest, the altar, and the sacrifice, but he's the one to whom the sacrifice is offered. What did the text say? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name, oh, that great and mighty name, his name, that name upon which we call, that name by which we're saved, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That name, the name that is above every name, exalted above all exaltation, that name at which every knee shall bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, that name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Let's take this text and just examine it statement by statement. Get your Bible, why don't you, and open it to Isaiah 9, verse 6. And it says, first of all, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now there's no, you say that's repetitious. There's no repetition here at all. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. There's no repetition at all. The careful student of the Word of God has already discovered that the Holy Spirit does not waste words at all. He says, first of all, unto us a child is born. There's a man-child born from the womb of Mary on that morning, that evening, a child which had never inhabited this world before, never been on this earth before, a new body, a new child, a new baby is born. And that child is a man child. That child is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. That child has a real human nature. That's right. That body See, this is what the Lord Jesus said in the word, a body thou hast prepared me. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived on this earth, he lived in a human body. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So a child is born that never had lived here before. This is a new baby. All right, the next line says, a son is given. Now, as the Son of God, he's not born. He is given. You see, Jesus Christ is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, but he's declared to be the Son of God. This person who came into the world is God and man. He's God in human flesh. And that's what the scripture is saying here. The Word was made flesh and actually dwelt among us. God became a man. He who made the world was in the world. He who made woman was made of a woman. So do you see what that's saying? Unto us, for us, given by God to us, a child is born. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He was numbered with the transgressors. He took our flesh, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. Jesus of Nazareth was a real flesh and blood human being, tested, tempted, tried in all points as we are, yet without sin. But different from us, a son is given. Jesus Christ came into the world. He wasn't born into the world. He came into the world. A child is born, a son is given, God in human flesh. Now, is this true? I have three questions. Is this true? Is what I'm preaching true? If it is true, what does it mean to me? If it's not true, what does it mean to me? Well, is it true? Well, the angels declared it to be true. The angel stood on that Judean hillside that night and said to the shepherds, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is none other than Christ the Lord. The Father declared it to be true when the Lord Jesus was baptized of John in the River Jordan. The voice from heaven came forth saying, this is my beloved Son. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And again the Father spake from heaven, said, this is my Son, hear ye him. Even the demons declared it to be true. They met Christ one day and they said, we know who you are. We know who you are. The Pharisees may not know who you are, and the Sadducees may not know who you are, and the world may not know who you are, but we know who you are. You're the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of God. Have you come to torment us before our time? The prophets and apostles dare declare it to be true. God was in the world, in the flesh. All right, now if this is true, what does it mean to me? Well, it means this. If it's true, I have a mediator with God. That's right, I have a mediator, a representative, a man. God to satisfy, man to suffer, the God-man, a representative. If it's true, I have a ransom. I have someone to pay my debt. And I hear the good news, deliver him from going down into the pit. I've found a ransom. If it's true, I have a righteousness. For Jesus Christ, Paul said, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The righteousness of God is by the faith of Christ Jesus. If it's true, I have a resurrection hope. If it's true, he arose from the grave, a man arose, then why can't another man arise? If a man's ascending into heaven, why can't another man ascend? If a man's at the right hand of God, why can there not be another man like myself or like you? If it's true, we have a representative. We have a ransom. We have a righteousness. We have a resurrection hope. But if it's not true, if this is not true, no Messiah, no Christ, no Redeemer, Jesus Christ is an imposter. Jesus Christ is not who he said he is, then what does that mean? Well, I stand alone before God. I have no mediator. A mere man cannot be my mediator. A mere woman cannot serve in that capacity. I have no ransom and the debt's too great to pay. I have no holiness and righteousness, no wedding garment. I'll hear him say, depart from me. I never knew you. I have no resurrection hope. But I can say with Isaac Watts of old, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Good news, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. A body thou hast prepared me. And in the body I come, O Lord, to do thy will, by the which will we're sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's good news, isn't it? I'm not through. All right, notice the second statement. The government shall be on his shoulder. Now, our Lord and Savior is no pitiful reformer. I get a little bit vexed when I hear preachers trying to get folks to feel sorry for Jesus. He doesn't need our sympathy. We need his. He doesn't need our pity. He's enthroned, exalted. He accomplished what he came to do. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said to the women who wept and lamented following him as he bore his cross to Calvary's mountain, he said, don't weep for me. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. But he reigns. He's the King. He rules over the Messianic kingdom. The Father from all eternity hath given all things into the hands of the Son. Isn't that what the Word says? For by him, through him, for him were all things created. And he is before all things, and by him all things are held together. He's the King of the Messianic kingdom. He has all authority in heaven and earth. That's what he said before he ascended to the Father's right hand. He said to his disciples, you go preach the gospel to every creature, because all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He has all power over all flesh. I hear preachers say, make Jesus your Lord. Let me tell you something, friend. He is your Lord. God made him your Lord. God turned you over to Christ a long time ago, whoever you are. He prayed in John 17, thou hast given me authority over all flesh. And then he has all power over the church. He's head of the church. He has all preeminence in eternal glory. God has given him a name which is above every name. And the hymn writer said, Jesus shall reign. Wherever the Son doth its successive journeys run. Oh my, the government is on his shoulder. And then notice the next statement. His name. I wish we could learn something about that name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, we carelessly call a lot of things wonderful. I hear people, I use it, you do, so often. Wonderful, that's wonderful, this is wonderful, something else is wonderful. But the Word says that He's wonderful. His name is wonderful. He's wonderful in His eternality. He is and was and ever shall be. He said to the Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's wonderful in his person. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He took on himself the form of a servant, deliberately, willingly took this upon himself because of his love for his people. He's wonderful in his love. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end, even the death of the cross. Greater love hath no man than this. He's wonderful in his life. He knew no sin. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? Even Pilate, the governor, said, I find no fault in this man. He's wonderful in his life. He's wonderful in his death. He died, the just for the unjust. And he said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. No man ever chose his own mother and chose the day on which he'd be born and the tribe and people to which he'd be born and the number of days he'd live on the earth and chose his own betrayer and chose his own jury and chose his own day of death and hour of death and way of death and then raised himself from the tomb. That's our Lord. Oh, he's wonderful in his resurrection. They said, the angel said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's not here at all. Christ is the life. He's risen. He's wonderful in his power. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. He's able to keep them from falling. He's able to present them faultless before the presence of God himself, holy, unblameable, unreprovable, with exceeding joy. And he's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like his own. Have you got a Savior like that? Your church can't do that. Mary can't do that. Your pastor can't do that. The priest cannot do that. The Pope himself cannot do that. Only Christ can do that. That's the reason his name's called Wonderful. He's wonderful. Wonderful. And then watch this. His name shall be called Counselor. Counselor. Would you know God? You've got to go to the Counselor. Christ reveals him. No man has seen the Father at any time save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. The Son declares the Father. He said, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And I've given them thy word, and they have kept thy word. Would you look into God's eternal purpose? Well, you've got to know the Counselor. I've manifested thy purpose. Christ is God's wisdom. Would you come to God? You've got to come by the Counselor. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Every religious person I know today wants to be the Counselor, but there's only one Counselor. That's Jesus Christ. I hear him say, call our church. We've got counselors standing by. I'm afraid of these human counselors. They'll mess me up like they're messed up. I don't need a human counselor. It says, he is the Counselor. Can you read that? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government's on his shoulders. I've got to get to him who runs things. I've got to get to him, the fountain of life, if I would have life, the fountain of grace, if I would have grace, the source of mercy, if I would have mercy. I can't waste my time calling you on the phone and asking your opinion. Don't come to me, come to Christ. The Lord Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's the only one that's got rest. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. I'm God, there's nobody else. He's the Counselor. He's the Counselor. He's the one who has the wisdom of God. He's the only one that can help you. And then he's the mighty God. The mighty God. Who is Jesus Christ? The mighty God. The Almighty is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every attribute of God is revealed in him. Only God is good. And we find no fault in him. He knew no sin. Only God can give life. He stood before the grave of Lazarus and said, come forth, and Lazarus lived. Only God can forgive sin. How many times did he say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Only God knows which fish has the coin in his mouth. Only God can say to the winds and the waves and the storm, be still. Only God knows men's hearts and thoughts. Only God knows the future and can say, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Or Thomas was right when he fell at his feet and he said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And then notice it says next, he's the everlasting Father. This Son is the everlasting Father, because God is one, though three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, yet the Lord our God is one God. What name did the did God give to Moses at the burning bush? When Moses said, now when I go down in Egypt to lead the people out, and they say, who sent you? What is his name? And God replied, I am that I am. I am. Well, how did the Lord Jesus Christ identify himself when he was on this earth? I'll tell you. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said again, I am the way, the truth, and the light. He said again, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. And when they came to arrest him in the garden, he said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they fell backward on the ground. He's the mighty God. And then notice in closing, he is the Prince of Peace. Would you have peace? Christ is the Prince of Peace, the giver of peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. First of all, he gives us peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God is reconciled through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is not at war with us anymore. The enmity has been put away. He was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And therefore being reconciled and being justified. Think of it. Peace with God. There's therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to them who are in Christ, because there's peace with God. And then there's peace of heart. He said, my peace I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled. And then he's our everlasting peace. He that believeth on the Son shall never be put to shame. Would you like to have this message? Jesus Christ, the mighty God. Well, I have two messages on this one tape, a cassette tape. This message and the one I'll bring next week on Christ the Mercy Seat. Send $2 and we'll mail it to you. Until next week at this time, God bless you.